The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The saga with Aer Lingus continues this morning. Thousands of passengers left in limbo as flights are cancelled. The question everybody's asking, is there a resolution in sight? Somebody who might be able to give an insight into that is Kevin Byrne, retired Lieutenant Colonel and Airport Safety and Security Auditor. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Anton.
Kevin, every time we think there is something of a dawn, it turns out to be a false one. We saw the Labour Court,
indeed,
that led to naught. We saw them sitting across the tables, that led to naught. Is there any indication of what might actually bring some progress?
It's hard to know because we have to go back a little time. I met a former member of the union, IALPA, who was an aircraft captain, an A330 captain, on Monday last, and he explained that this unhappiness has been building for years. It goes back over a decade, I think, and it was going to result in industrial action that's going to take it to the end. So he said there's a lot of hardened ideas in the union from that point of view, and I think what's happened in the last 2 days kind of proves that. In the same way, people think that Aer Lingus is a cosy Irish company. It's not. In fact, it's part of the International Airlines Group. It's got British Airways, Iberia, Vueling, and now they're taking over another Spanish airline if they can. But the headquarters of that is not actually in Dublin, it's in Madrid, and they've got a different mindset in terms of European, aspects to the whole thing. So it's not quite the same thing it was 10 years ago. And there's an urgency here, which I've asked the question, I haven't got the answer to it yet. Tomorrow morning, as you know, there's going to be from 0500 to 1300 a full strike, a walkout, so to speak. The question I couldn't get answered yet is, will there be pickets on the airport, as was the case maybe 10 or 15 years ago? Because I remember well watching the news and watching people I knew in their captain's uniforms walking around the buildings and the various things in Dublin Airport, and it was very successful. If you're part of a bigger union, do other members of that union actually pass the picket? Or will there be a problem in that regard?
Because this being force, I presume.
Yes. I don't know what the rules are. I don't know what the regulations are, nor do I know what the intention are, but already the situation is bad. It might get worse because coming back to work at 1 o'clock, 1300 hours, might not be easy if some of the people who are not involved directly don't come to work.
Now, every step that we have seen taken from the IALPA side has had a significant effect, but a counterproductive effect, it would seem. We saw the original threatened work rule,
yes,
mean that A321, the long haul that was meant to be delivered,
two
got
of them,
shifted.
Two of them got
well,
shifted.
One and then another subsequently went out to, I think, Iberia ended up getting the aircraft.
Yes.
Aer Lingus was due to be a delivery customer for them. That
Absolutely.
Is a significant sort of feather in the cap for an airline. But it didn't achieve anything. Aer Lingus doubled down again. And all of the way through, we have seen doubling down. Is there any indication that any of this is taking enough of a toll on Aer Lingus for IAG to question their current plan?
No is the short answer in my view like that. Don't forget Aer Lingus is at its peak. There's 131 destinations served from Dublin alone from Aer Lingus. Today is the day that young people get their holidays from primary school, as far as I know. So this weekend of all weekends was going to be exceptionally busy in Dublin. I was in the airport last night. It was remarkably busy with arrivals and departures, but it's going to get worse like that. But from tomorrow morning, there's not going to be an Aer Lingus movement between, 5 o'clock and 1 o'clock, so to speak. So I think it's going to happen again. And I suspect that IALPA is going to serve notice again on the company, saying that they'll repeat what they're doing tomorrow following next Saturday. But I'm only guessing that. I have no particular internal information. But it would be normal to up the ante a little bit more, and that would be maybe a 10-hour strike or a 5-hour strike or whatever they might do again. Or they could pull, and say we go for 2 days, as was the case, for example, in Britain when the rail companies were on strike from that point of view. You notch it up inch by inch and see what happens, and you wait for a response from the company. But there's not a lot of apparent goodwill on either side just at the moment from what I've seen.
When you talk about notching it up, we talked a little bit there about the IALPA tactics. On the Aer Lingus side then, the things that seem to be particularly galling for IALPA. We've seen accusations that sicknesses among pilots are a variant of a blue flu and that they're an IR mechanism. We have seen direct legal threats to individual pilots as well as to IALPA as
true.
An entity.
Yeah.
And we've seen the suspension and removal of travel, both for families,
That's
relatives
right.
and the pilots themselves. All of those are designed, one would have to think, to rub salt into this wound.
It looks like that, but I don't know if that's being done from Dublin or from Madrid, because, as I said, there's a long-term aspect here. I suspect that the IAG is looking at this, though, with not to say disquiet, actually alarm, because it has a knock-on effect on all of the things. Now that Aer Lingus is part of this, there's a huge amount of, not cross-subsidization, but cross-fertilization between the companies. They do a lot of progress. They don't want this spreading any further than Dublin, if at all possible. They already see the effects it has on, for example, the 14,000 passengers a day who transit through Dublin with Aer Lingus. That's part of the 40,000 passengers that fly. They also are aware that if this strike goes ahead and becomes a full-time strike, it's going to cost the airline at least 20 million and probably 25 million euros per day of all days of the strike. So there's a lot at stake here, and I think the airline group IAG is playing hardball and wants to sort of nip it in the bud. But we're gone past that stage now, unfortunately.
That issue of contagion is interesting, because later on in the programme we're going to be talking to Captain Daniel Carey. Daniel Carey is the past president of the Allied Pilots Association. He's their international liaison officer. That association represents 16,000 pilots in American Airlines.
Indeed.
And they have written in solidarity with Aer Lingus. So it would suggest that this is gaining traction beyond just Aer Lingus.
It's being noticed, indeed. IALPA has a strong position in that it represents 700 of the 800 pilots employed by the airline. And also, as this retired captain spoke to me, he said, look at the numbers of people who voted. There's a huge turnout. And look at the success they've had in taking the votes into the 90s. That's remarkable by any standard. So there's a huge feeling with the pilot force there that they're not getting what they want. And they are prepared to go to some length to try and get what they see is theirs over the time.
Now, can I ask you that? One of the things that has previously characterised in the pre-Willie Walsh era Aer Lingus negotiations was that the fact that it was a national flag carrier meant that public opinion mattered, governmental opinion mattered. In this instance, does it make any difference if the public side with the pilots or the public side with Aer Lingus, or is this simply a matter of who can cause the most pain to the other until somebody blinks?
I think it's a bit of both from that point of view. At the moment, I think the public is neutral from that point of view. You know, they see it as an industrial dispute that affects them. But the attitude of the public may harden in opposition to the action if it persists for too long. You'll get away with small insults. Like the strike tomorrow morning is upsetting. I know four people who are away at the moment who are sending me emails, will I get home, from that point of view. If you're going to lose your holiday because you've booked for so long, your kids are off school now, you want to go on Monday or Sunday or whenever it might be, and your flight is cancelled, that's a terrible place to be, as you know, people going on holidays to Disneyland, wherever it might be. This is the peak season of the year from that point of view. You will bring people with you for a while, but if it gets too much, too long, and there's a complete shutdown, you're probably going to lose the public opinion battle on behalf of the Pilots Association. But I don't know if that's going to reflect on the airline, because I've met people in the airport recently and they said, we're never going to fly Aer Lingus again. But they're the very same people who said, we're never going to fly Ryanair again. So it cuts both ways, and we've short memories from that point of view.
What about the broader impact on the country? Because obviously the Aer Lingus is significant in terms of overall connectivity. It is hugely significant in terms of multinational business and in terms of our richest and highest spending tourism, which is from the US.
Indeed.
That has to be having a broader economic effect.
As I mentioned, what has been extremely useful for Dublin and Shannon is the US pre-clearance. We seem to underestimate how valuable that is. That's incredibly valuable for people coming to Europe. So, I mean, it's a great attraction. But if you disrupt the flights in and out, America are very sensitive to that kind of thing. They'll go somewhere else. They'll go to Paris. They'll go to Italy. They'll go to London if they can. They'll postpone their holidays. Also, tourism. We're an island nation. I've said this more than once. I didn't realise until before Christmas that for the month of November, which is a quiet month in some ways, the tourism industry in the Republic of Ireland spent 500 million euros. That's a colossal amount of money like that. What is that worth in terms of June, July, August and that? If you pull the plug on that, you lose a huge proportion of that. You lose goodwill, and you also lose the continuity of people coming back here again. And the Americans, as you said, are big spenders. From that point of view, I don't think we can have this lasting for too much longer.
You, by virtue of giving an objective analysis, need to be somewhat on the fence. I'm going to ask you to come off the fence in a second and tell me who's in the right here. But first, a couple of texts. Anton, I haven't seen this addressed yet in the media. How are the striking pilots paid relative to their competitors? Well, I think part of the issue is, who do you define as their competitors? Because if you define them as Air France and American Airlines, well, then they're not doing very well. If you define them as Ryanair, well, then they're high on the hog. My husband has a flight Tuesday evening booked with BA from Shannon to Brazil via Heathrow on Tuesday to surprise his mam for her 70th birthday. I booked him a Ryanair flight early Tuesday morning to make sure he gets to London for the rest of the flight. Should he get the earlier Ryanair flight in case the Aer Lingus flight to Heathrow is cancelled at the last minute? I assume this is the kind of way up that a lot of people are having to make at the moment.
It's so uncertain. And I think they'll publish, though, if there is, and I'm just, you know, throwing a stone in the water, if there is an order to serve more strike notice on the airline, maybe today or tomorrow, having had their meetings, I think Aer Lingus will go ahead on Saturday night, maybe for Sunday morning, and publish the next tranche of flights so you can at least plan and say, look, my flight's not at 2 o'clock, I'm not at 4 o'clock. There are knock-ons, though, in technical terms, which I mentioned before, I'll mention them again. If you've got a flight that comes into a particular airport with, say, Aer Lingus at midday every day, and suddenly it's diverted or it's held back or delayed or whatever, and comes in at 4 o'clock, depending on the size of the airport, you mightn't actually have the services available, you know, because of the handling agents being busy elsewhere. You mightn't get the aircraft turned around. You mightn't get your baggage. You mightn't get refueled. So if that's a delayed coming back from a particular destination, the crews might say, hey, we're out of hours, we can't fly home. And that's a problem. You're left in a destination where you want to come home.
Briefly, Kevin, the pay differential.
The pay differential, Aer Lingus are not badly paid, but they're not paid the same as the other airlines in the group because there are different country conditions. You know, you've got different pay rates, you've got different contributions made to pensions, you've got different, you know, living conditions. For example, I understand, I only heard this 2 days ago, that some of the co-pilots in Aer Lingus actually live in the UK because it's cheaper to so do, and they fly in for their duties and then they go home again.
And who's right?
Who's right? I don't know, to be honest. I have no shares in either company, so to speak.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.